In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're continuing with the Gospels about St. John because, of course, yesterday was his nativity. So this is continuing speaking about him and his teachings and his life. There's a rather enigmatic beginning to this Gospel. Some people thought that St. John doubted. Some people have thought that by reading this, when he said he was in prison, so he sent his disciples to say, to inquire of Christ, are you the one? Or do we look for another? Most of the fathers that I know of interpret this as that St. John knew who he was. After all, he had said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He had had the Holy Spirit of light on his shoulder as a dove and the voice from heaven saying, this is my Son, my beloved, in whom I'm well pleased. So St. John knew that he was the Messiah and was the God-man. But he wanted others to know. And even, to be honest with you, even if St. John in prison had a moment of doubt, he's a human being. It doesn't make any difference to me if that actually happened, but the fathers don't believe that it did. But Jesus took the opportunity when people were coming to him to speak about St. John, what St. John's question was, to go beyond the question. So, are you the coming one, or do we ask for another? And he tells them, well, you know, you see the lame walking and the blind seeing. What do you think? But then he continues. Jesus does this. You look at questions that people ask in the Gospels, and Jesus sometimes doesn't even answer the question. And other times he answers the question like this, but he goes beyond it. The best example I can think of is Nicodemus. Nicodemus comes to him and says, we know that you must be from God because all these things are happening. And he doesn't say anything about it at all. He just says, you must be born again, completely befuddling Nicodemus, and having a discourse with him that I think is critical for every Christian to know and to understand. Because if we don't live our life spiritually, we don't have life. And that's what Jesus was trying to tell Nicodemus. And here he's trying to tell us something about the life of St. John and how that must translate into our life, how we must change our life because of seeing St. John's life. So he asked these questions. And remember, there are no rhetorical questions in the Gospels. There's no rhetorical question in all of the Bible. You must answer these questions. These questions are meant for you to answer. And you all must answer it as Jesus answers questions, not in a shallow way, but in a deep and a spiritual way. So he says, what went you out into the wilderness to behold? A reed being shaken by the wind? Well, a reed, of course, is very weak, right? And it's just shaken by the wind. The wind blows it wherever it wishes. That is talking about weakness of human will, weakness of human spirit. Would you go out to see a weak man? Well, St. John was anything but weak. St. John was very strong, very austere. That's why the common people loved him so much and why those in positions of authority hated him, because he was honest, but he wasn't shaken by the wind at all. So if you love St. John, then you must love what he spoke about, and you must try to emulate what he spoke about. If we are Christians, then we should not be reeds shaken by the wind. Nowadays, an awful lot of people are shaken by the wind. They're weak because of their enormous appetites for things that are passions and sins. And that weakens their resolve. They're like a reed shaken by the wind. Or as St. James says, a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. Jesus goes on to question, what went ye out to see? A man who hath been clothed in soft garments? Behold, those wearing soft garments are in the houses of kings. Again, that's about luxury. That's about indulging ourselves. If we say that we are Christians and we indulge ourselves, we're hypocrites. I'm not talking about that we indulge ourselves maybe because of our weaknesses. But if we have a lifestyle of indulgence without struggling against that indulgence, then we're hypocrites. Because this is not the Christian life. The Christian life is to work hard. Christian life is to sleep on the ground. The Christian life is to take care of the sheep out in the wilderness with only a shepherd's staff to defend against the wolf. The Christian life is that of a soldier who is accustomed to hard living, long marches, times without food, bitter battles. We can't be afraid of this. We have this Christianity that's been just feminized. in the worst way. Now, strong women are not this kind of lackadaisical kind of reed shaken in the wind, but all of Christianity seems to be afflicted, including Orthodoxy. It's kind of weakness. It's kind of weakness. It's indulgence. Churches that don't even follow the fasts because, well, you know, people can't do that anymore. Churches that don't serve services because, well, that's too much of an imposition for people. Or churches that change the nature of the services for the convenience of people. Now, a little pastoral discretion is good, but not to be weak, not to be shaken by the wind, not to have soft garments. We're not to live with soft garments and be shaken by the wind. We're to be strong, or to have struggles in our life. And again, I have to return to the subject that I think I talk about almost every sermon. We have to have this prayer where we give our blood to God. You know, Christ, when he was praying in the garden, his sweat was like as drops of blood. That's how intensely he was praying. We should pray with intensity. We have to focus on that. I remember once I was going somewhere and the family was playing the communion prayers, the preparation prayers, and it was hot, and the door, all the windows of the car were open, and it was playing, and you couldn't understand a word of it. That was their custom, that was the way they prepared for communion, by listening to the communion prayers as they were driving down the highway with the windows open. And perhaps that was the best they could do, but it would be better to be a little harder, to not be so soft on ourselves, to get up a half hour earlier, or stay up an hour, half hour later, and say the communion prayers with attention as much as possible, and to have times of the day, maybe it's the morning for you, maybe it's the evening, where you struggle to pray with attention. My guys in prison really have a difficult time finding quiet time. Prisons are very loud environments with a lot of loud people, because prisons have a lot of strange people in them and disturbed people, so you have lots of noise. And plus the doors are opening all the time and clanging shut, and it's just a cacophony of noise. But at 2 a.m, before they rouse everybody for chow, they literally have breakfast at 3 a.m. Can you believe that? What a bizarre time to get up for breakfast, but that's what they do. They get them up for breakfast if they want to have breakfast at 3 a.m. And of course, if they're getting some people up, then everybody wakes up. The doors are opening and they're yelling and screaming and everything. But at 2 a.m, people are still sleeping. There might be that golden hour, 1 to 2, when it's pretty much quiet. And I tell my guys, well, what are you doing? You got to get up. I don't care if you're tired. Find a way to do it. Make it happen. Because that's the only time you can pray where it's actually quiet. And that's a golden time. So you got to make it happen. And some of my guys are doing that. They're getting up early in the morning so that they can pray when it's quiet and when they can be collected. That's being someone who's not wearing soft garments. That's not giving yourself ease. Say, oh, take your ease. Your body is tired. People were loud tonight. I didn't get to sleep till midnight. I didn't have a good sleep. I'll just sleep in. I'll blow off my prayers. Oh, Father Seraphim's coming today, but I'm tired, so I'm going to stay home. That's not the way to live your life. The way to live your life is as a soldier, as best you can. Now, everybody has weaknesses. Everybody has difficulties. Not everybody's as strong as another person. All different levels of strength. But you must live up to your level of strength. And you'll find something. If you live up to your level of strength, your strength will increase. If you live below your level of strength, your strength will decrease. This is a principle. This is what happens. Now, if you try to live beyond your level of strength, then you can break yourself. Like a person who says, I'm going to go out off in a mountain and I'm just going to pray. Well, you could really lose your faith or be deluded by the demons. There's stories of people that have done that in Mount Athos, and they've walked off a mountaintop thinking because the demons had convinced them that they could fly or something. So you don't want to go beyond your strength. But you want to go up to it as best you can. And for that person who does something that is small, but according to their strength, that is blessed by God. More than a person who's very strong and does something only at three quarters of their strength, but well beyond the other person. This is very important. We're not comparing ourselves to other people. We're comparing ourselves basically to Christ and to ourselves. Say, am I trying hard enough? Am I trying hard enough? It's very important. It's very important. Again, about communion prayers, I knew somebody that had trouble saying the communion prayers on Sunday morning. It was always never finished. So, well, why don't you say them on Saturday night? And if you can't say them all on Saturday night, why don't you start on Friday? See, this is where we're not giving ourselves an excuse for our laziness. Okay, maybe you don't get the prayer said on Sunday. Maybe you get up too late. Maybe there's too much household hubbub and everything. Okay, are you just going to let that happen and wash over you like a wave? Or are you going to find a way? This is what Jesus is talking about here. St. John was about struggling to live. All of the saints struggled hard to live. They struggled with asceticism. They struggled with prayer in their closet. A lot of them fasted in incredible ways and did incredible works of strength and of endurance for Christ. Now, if we cannot do those things, then we must do what we can do. That's critically important if we are to be Christians. So I know that, you know, these sermons go out on the internet. There are people who might be very weak, etc. And sometimes people feel, he's being judgmental. He doesn't understand me. I'm overwhelmed. I can't do anything. There's nobody in the world that can't do anything. You can find a way to do something. You can find a way to do something. That's very important, extremely important. And if you do a little, then you can do a little bit more. That's the principle. And try not to be soft on yourself. If you do things out of weakness, out of habit, then out of your environment, all right. But if you do things just because you're soft on yourself, that's not good. You're going to try your best not to be soft on yourself. And it's an adjustment. It's a learned skill, and it happens over time. So I want to tell you one more thing from this little sermon by Jesus about St. John. He talked about that St. John was the greatest born of woman, and yet the least in the kingdom of heaven. People are confused by that. I know one person who was a preacher in a Protestant church who preached that meant St. John was not saved. Because after all, if he's below the least in the kingdom of heaven, then using your arithmetic skills, he must be below heaven. Well, that's ridiculous. St. John was alive at the time he's speaking about this. A person in the flesh, in this world, no matter how great they are, is less than the least in the kingdom of heaven. Because in the kingdom of heaven is an entirely different state of being and way of living. That's what they meant. That's what the Lord meant by this. So we must understand that St. John is the greatest of the prophets, of the human, mortal human prophets, because the greatest prophet, of course, is Christ. He's the greatest prophet, the greatest king, the high priest. He's all those three things as a superlative. But among sinful men, born only of man and woman, then St. John is the greatest. So let's try to work up to the level of our strength. It's a process where you learn what the level of your strength is. Just try to not give yourself any quarter. I'm going to give you something confessional right now. I am really just tired of the Monday Malevin. And I have just wrestled with it, and I really want to stop doing it. And so far, I have resisted it. Now, maybe that I've said it out loud, I won't stop it. But sometimes I just don't want to serve it. Monday is a long day for me many times. I have several things to do after liturgy today. I'll be tired in the afternoon. I get very tired of the Malevin. But I try, according to the level of my strength, to serve that service, because I think that and this service on Monday morning, the liturgy that we serve, the weekday liturgy, are critical for the grace of God permeating this parish. And if we stopped doing that, I think God would judge me, because he would say, what are you doing? What did I ordain you for? I ordained you so that you could serve, so that my grace would come to those that are in your flock. And now you're lazy and you don't want to serve on Monday night? Or you're lazy and you don't want to serve a weekday liturgy. So we've had a weekday liturgy for a long time now. I think maybe 10 years. And we've had a weekday Maleben for maybe even longer than that period. But there was a period of time when this land was just rocks and grass, a lot of rocks, tore up a lot of lawnmower blades, tore up a lot of lawnmowers, and two big trees, the trees are gone. And we had the cross was over by the sidewalk towards the road, and we would serve a Maleben. I think it was Thursday nights. And there was an infernal dog at the neighbors that he would just bark and bark and bark. Oh, hated it. And sometimes it would rain. We had no facilities. I'd be standing out there in the rain serving an Akathist and Maleben service. And sometimes I was the only one present. Sometimes there were two or three more. And this was in the early days. Our church was not that big. By the grace of God, we found money to build. And so here we are. But there was a period of time when I was tired of the dog barking, I was tired of getting rained on, tired of being the only one to serve Maleben, that I quit for a while. I don't really remember how long it was. It was just a difficult period in my life. And Father Nicholas, at the time, probably a layman, maybe a reader, I'm not sure, I don't remember. He basically got on my case and says, why are you doing that? You got to get back to doing that. So I did. So I'm glad I did. It still hated the dog barking. But we kept up with it. And we're going to keep up with it according to our strength. I did ask Father Nicholas if he would sometimes serve it, but unfortunately he has family commitments on Monday night. So I'd have to move it to another night. I thought about doing that, but there aren't too many nights that are open. Monday's probably the best night. Certainly the only night that I can consistently serve it. So let's live according to our strength. And then as we live according to our strength, I guarantee you your strength will increase. You can only do what you can do. Just make sure you don't not do it. I know that's kind of a double negative there. The grammar is not so good, but the theology is fantastic. You must do what you can do, and you must make sure you always do what you can do. And if you do that, you'll be able to do things that you can't do. The life of St. John shows us that. May God bless you and help you in all things.